everyone, for being here today. This is my first APHA conference, and I know there's a wealth of things to attend. So today I'm going to be talking about research that a lot of people at the Physical Activity Policy Research Network participated in, or PAPRN as we call it, and I want to acknowledge and thank all of my co-authors. I also want to acknowledge other people. A lot of people helped bring this study to fruition, and I want to acknowledge them. And I also really want to thank you, Amy, for your leadership with PAPRN. So why focus on walking? Well, people who walk are 3 times more likely to meet the physical activity recommendations. And, wonderfully, in mid-2015, the Surgeon General is coming out with the first ever walking call to action for Americans. So this is a wonderful opportunity to try and engage Americans in physical activity with a specific behavior in a new way. So if we want this national initiative, there's America Walks, there's the Everybody Walks campaign, if we want these national level initiatives to be as effective as possible, A, we want to target really strategic people for dissemination, and we also want to make sure that the messages and the frames we're using to communicate about walking are as persuasive as possible in our clinics and communities. So, in general, our traditional approach in public health to promote physical activity or activities like walking has been to frame them in health-related medical ways, focusing on weight and medical outcomes. And we should feel really great because we've successfully socialized people to consider physical activity and activities like walking as a vehicle for health and weight. Because research shows that when you ask people why they move, the vast majority say that they move for health or weight-related reasons. But I think we need to take a step back and wonder whether framing and branding walking and physical activity for health and weight-related reasons is actually the most strategic way to motivate people to walk, especially for them to make it a priority in their very busy lives. In the last year, a study came out, a paper came out where they framed walking in different ways. They gave everyone a mile walk, and they told half of the group the walk was exercise, and the other half of the group they told it was fun. And they actually published 3 different studies in this paper, but what they found consistently was that at the end of the walk, the people who had been told it was exercise were in grumpier moods and ate more junk food than people who were told it was fun. Now, that study is not about sustainable behavior, but it gives us a window into how the frame actually influences how people experience walking. So it's important that we start to think about who can we look to teach us how we can best frame and brand walking. And marketing and consumer behavior experts are the place I think we really need to start. Branding is a purposeful process. You can consider it a type of socialization or education where people, where we're marketing a product, service, or behavior, and what we're trying to do is to purposefully, we could say influence or manipulate, whichever word you want to use, people's beliefs, perceptions, feelings about a behavior. And the focus of branding is we step away from what we actually care about achieving and we focus on what our end user cares about achieving. It's all about building a strategic relationship with walking. And instead of thinking about, again, our goals, we ask questions like, why should moms use their precious time and energy to walk? And in what ways can we help moms understand walking as a way to achieve their most salient desires and address their most important concerns? So the first part in developing a brand is to conduct formative research, which is what this is about. And we asked people, we wanted to investigate, what does walking symbolize now to moms? And what are moms' daily wants and worries completely independent of walking? So our purpose was to understand the salient daily concerns and priorities along with what walking means and symbolizes to low-income female caregivers as a first step toward developing and evaluating a persuasive brand of walking to increase family physical activity. So we collected data in 7 different locations in the United States, in Michigan, in West Virginia, in Georgia, Missouri, Kansas City, Texas, and here in Louisiana. And we were targeting low-income female caregivers of elementary school children living in urban areas. Urban areas we defined as those that had a population density of greater than 50,000. Female caregivers had to be over 18 years old and have at least one child in elementary school. And we recruited women through organizations that only serve low-income individuals. And we worked, those organizations helped us recruit people, and we incentivized participation through food, $25 cash incentives, and also free childcare. So we collected demographic and physical activity data using validated measures, and we focused on moderate intensity physical activity and walking bouts greater than 10 minutes. And for our qualitative questions, we asked what we call the 5 W's of walking. Who walks, why walk, what counts, where do you walk, when do you walk? And in this presentation today, I'm going to give you a snack of what we found in the green highlighted questions. So we achieved our diverse sample with 69% being either African American or people or women of Hispanic origin and low income. The average age of our participant was 35 years old, but the range was so big because we did have some grandmothers who were the primary caregivers. So we also found that in general the participants reported moving above the standard recommendation of 150 minutes per week. We're not sure if this reflects actual physical activity or whether this is the typical over-reporting of physical activity that's seen in self-report. And a coding guide reflecting the emergent themes was developed and refined by the coding team. 2 people coded the data, and findings were cross-checked for similarity. The codes that we came up with were not mutually exclusive, so certain statements could have gone in 2 different codes. And as new themes arose, the coders discussed it, and a consensus was reached about whether they should be included in our coding guide. So let's talk about the emergent themes. We asked people, you know, what counts as physical activity? Based on what you know, how much physical activity and exercise are we supposed to do? And we found that there was a great deal of confusion about the recommendations, from people saying anything from 10 minutes to 30 minutes to 45 minutes to an hour, to other criteria such as, well, you need to sweat, and, well, there's really no right way because everybody does it different, and, or, you know, you need to walk 10 or 15 miles a day. So you can see there was very little agreement, and the criteria people used to describe this differed between distance, time, days per week, and, you know, experiences like sweating. And I think it would be very easy to make the assumption that, well, these participants are lower educated people and they don't know the recommendations. But that would be a mistake, because in the last year, a paper was published, I think it's on over 4,000, a national survey on over 4,000 people, a health style survey, showing that less than 1% of Americans understood the moderate level physical activity recommendations. Less than 1%. So there really is a challenge going on about this. But one of our primary questions was, do people think walking counts as exercise? And the answer was, it depends. So, for example, this quote says, well, to benefit your heart, you've got to do it for 30 minutes nonstop. You also can't count things like walking to the store if it takes you 5 minutes. It needs to be at least 20 or 15. And the other interesting thing that came up in more than a couple of places was that for walking to count, you needed to be wearing certain types of clothing. So that was interesting. And again, I want to say the other hat that I wear is I've been a physically active lifestyle coach for about 17 years, and I work with fairly educated and affluent people. It's been shocking to me to discover that almost no one in this very educated group has known or thought that walking counted as exercise. So people don't have that connection in general yet. Another theme that came up is walking is part of everyday life. And people had comments like, well, I'm just moving constantly, walking in circles. Where other people said, Well, I do walk all the time, but it's not, it doesn't count. It's not the type of walking that you need. So in answer to our who walks questions, there was a bifurcation of the type of people that walks. And some participants said, well, the people who walk are similar to me. They don't have change for the bus. They don't have cars. And it's really not an option. But another subset of people said that the people who walked are actually very different from me. They're white people. They're people who've got nannies, and they've got all the time in the world. So that was a really interesting distinction that we discovered. And the other thing I just want to point out is we didn't ask about finances anywhere in our questions, but finances and issues related to money and spending came up throughout the focus groups, which, I mean, I guess isn't surprising. But then we got to the why walk questions. And one of the themes that came up when we asked participants, well, why would you walk? They had comments related to weight loss. Some people talked about weight loss. And they talked about, they had comments that really reflected wishful thinking and unrealistic expectations and also generated lots of emotion and laughter. Like, I just want to wake up tomorrow and be 60 pounds. I'll put on the clothes, but I don't want to do it. Other people saying, yes, I want to guarantee that I'm going to lose weight if I walk, and you know, but you have to be consistent and, you know, ask me about it tomorrow. So there were a lot of mixed messages and ambivalence when people talked about reasons such as this to walk. Another very interesting theme that arose was that walking for health was something that people talked about doing. But in those conversations, they inevitably winded to health as a vehicle for what they really want, which is to be there for their kids and to participate in their family. So in examples like this, underlined, I want to be able to be here for them until they're grown. And, you know, the doctor told me you need to walk, but I'm doing it for my family and for my life. So I think, as public health professionals, going back to the assumptions we've made when we promote walking and physical activity for health, those are the things we hope people get out of it. But if in fact walking is a mediator of something else, shouldn't we targeting the end point that people really are passionate about? Some people talked about the positive experiences that they got from walking. For example, this person said, you come back with energy and it clears your mind. And other people talked about how when you go on a walk, it releases your stress. And other people talked about the fact, well, I walk with my family and that's really important to me and that's really relaxing. So these are experiential, in the moment, and immediate effects of walking rather than distant outcomes like health and weight loss. And then we had comments like this, well, walking is a pleasure thing, but you put your pleasures, you come last. So your pleasures come last. So while this person talked about the benefits that she experienced from walking in the moment, it was also, but that's not a priority. And that takes us to another theme, which is walking was really talked about not as a high priority, but as a low priority, because people did work two jobs and they had to put food on the table and take care of their families. And again, these comments that after I take care of everybody else, then when I have my time, I do it. But, you know, we can take a step back and think about the world we live in. It's very hard to get to the bottom of the list and take care of everything else. So another question we asked them at the end of our focus groups was, if you could anonymously tell people, marketers, to you, to promote walking to you, what would you tell them? And a theme that arose was, well, don't put perfect and skinny people walking in the ads. And we want to see real mom with children doing things like walking in the park. They predominantly talked about wanting to see people just like them in the marketing. They want to see women who are heavy, who look like them, who haven't lost the weight from childbirth and childbearing that they have, because they said it was very demotivating to see very small women walking and feel like, I'm never going to get there, so why should I even bother? And one woman even said, you know, it just makes me want to go and watch TV and eat potato chips. other people talked about seeing marketing that reflected real people, individuals in their communities who they would know and recognize and trust. And another person talked about, you know, I care about my kids, so I want the ads to focus on walking as a vehicle or a place where I can work on what is most important to me, my priorities. They want to see real ads, which is really interesting. They want ads that don't airbrush out their challenges and the harsh realities where they live. They said they wanted to see moms looking winded when they walked because that's how they feel. And they wanted to see people like them because they said that then I know I can do it. And to give you an example, well, so this study has both strengths and limitations. The target group is a high-risk group, so that's a strength, and we conducted focus groups in many locations in the U.S., and our questions and method really aimed to get at the underlying meaning and beliefs and feelings that people had. And the limitations are that it's a very specific sample, and the people who came might have liked walking, but from the comments we got, I wouldn't say that. But a strong limitation is we can't know whether the physical activity data reflect over-reporting or the fact that these women actually do walk a lot in their lives because of their context. And there's a lack of generalizability outside of this group, which also was not, it was heterogeneous. But when you're developing a marketing and branding campaign, you do want to investigate a very focused group. So I think that's also a strength. So to summarize, moms associated walking with something both poor and affluent people do. There were a lot of mixed messages and ambivalence. Even when they talked about positives of walking, it came back to I don't have time or I don't like to sweat. And the other thing, the important takeaway, is promoting walking via a dose response, such as from a recommendation, is confusing to everybody and unlikely to really be an effective way to motivate walking. So walking was not a high priority compared with the mom's other priorities, even when they liked doing it. And there's an opportunity to strategically rebrand walking to make it more emotionally compelling and relevant for moms to prioritize. So some preliminary branding ideas are that we should make walking a want instead of a should. And again, when you give recommendations, that puts it right into the should category. We want to make it a want, something that moms can consider as a way to refuel themselves and energize themselves, but also show them how they can make it a priority, how feeling better actually influences living better in the areas that they care most about. And we really need to, again, make it real. Make it about real ads, not ideal situations. And to give an example that is directly comes out of one of our participants' mouths, which I think is a really interesting idea for branding walking or a way to advertise it, is put a mom out there with rollers and sweats and say, it's going to make you feel better. I mean, what a great image. What a real image. So next steps are to develop and evaluate a branded walking intervention to motivate consistent daily walking among low-income moms to increase family-level physical activity, and I look forward to hearing your questions at the end of everyone's talks. Thanks very much.